Welcome back to Daniel, chapter 11, part 3. We continue the story and prophecy that began in chapter 10, as the angel reveals to Daniel what is written in the Book of Truth. After covering centuries of future prophecy, future for Daniel, past for us, we now jump forward to the time of the end and the prophecy of Antichrist. Remember, we left off at verse 35 with a transition point. The wise will stumble so that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time of the end. For it will come at the appointed time. Two keys are there, the refining of the wise and the time of the end. The wise play a key role in this prophecy. If your life happens to fall in perilous times, or even the end times, how do you live with wisdom in a world of chaos? Or is it chaos, if that time is truly appointed by God? It's interesting that God uses this point of transition in the prophecy, as we jump mountain peaks from BC to end times, to focus on the wise. In fact, there are several key elements that connect the events of 167 BC with the end times: war, persecution of the Jews, the wise, and Antichrist. Recall that as we left off, Antiochus Epiphanes vented his fury against the Jews in Jerusalem and set up the abomination that causes desolation inside the temple of God. That happened in 167 BC, and he was a type of Antichrist. In fact, verses 31 to 35 appear to overlap. They apply both past and future. How do we know that? Because Jesus tells us that there will be another abomination that causes desolation in the end times. So these verses apply to both. But beginning in verse 36, we move definitively into the end times. The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. This is the very nature of the Antichrist. He exalts himself above all gods. Antichrist is both against God and in place of God, which is why Antichrist is so crucial to the end time story. In the end, every human will come to the point of decision. Choose your God. Antiochus Epiphanes was a forerunner, among others, a picture of what happens when the world rejects and replaces God with idols, or with self. Antichrist will be the complete fulfillment. Back in 36, he will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. This part is hard. Antichrist will be successful. For a time, he'll win. Why? For what has been determined must take place. God tells us in advance so that we know it has to happen this way. Even as Antichrist shows no regard for the gods of his ancestors, but exalts himself above them all, God saw it coming. God is in control. Interesting. Verse 38 says, he will honor a god of fortresses and honor that god with gold and silver. It sounds to me like he will spend a lot of money on weapons of war. And at war, he will be successful, attacking the mightiest fortresses and honoring those who acknowledge him. As you might expect, he's a politician with a self-serving agenda. One small interjection here. It seems to be common practice for Christians to make guesses and accusations at who the Antichrist is today. I'm pretty sure that every U.S. president and every pope for the last several decades has been accused of being Antichrist at some point or another. I don't think that naming the Antichrist is a fruitful practice. Just my two cents. Back in Daniel, the world doesn't go down without a fight. The kings of the south and north engage him. We can't say for sure in advance who that refers to, but it is another clue that this was never meant to refer to Antiochus Epiphanes, because king of the north was his title earlier. In verse 40, he will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. That means Israel. Many countries will fall, but some will be delivered. His rule will extend through North Africa. In verse 44, but reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. Based on other prophecies, some believe the report from east is China and from north is Russia, both on the attack. Again, I believe this wasn't meant to be fully understood until it all happens, but some details are clear. All of this leads to one massive final battle. He will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful Holy Mountain. That is a location. There is a beautiful valley between the Mediterranean Sea and Sea of Galilee, north of Mount Zion, called Megiddo. Revelation 16 speaks of a place where the kings of the world will gather for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Revelation says it is the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The word Armageddon doesn't mean end of the world. It means Valley of Megiddo. It is the prophesied location of the final battle. Many famous battles have already been fought there. From Canaanites to Israelites, to Egyptians, to Alexander the Great, all the way to Napoleon. Even the British and Turks battled there just a century ago. You can visit it today, but if I'm reading this right, Antichrist will set up his tents there, in Megiddo, and the kings of the world will come to battle. And the final word on Antichrist, here in chapter 11, yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. That is the end of his story. It's also important perspective to remember about every self-appointed God, every person who takes their stand against or in place of God Almighty. He will come to his end, and no one will help him. If you want more details on the Battle of Armageddon, read Revelation 19 and the second coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As for you and me, we will reach our end tomorrow. Not like our end isn't dying. That's not what I meant. We're just reaching the end of the book. It's the last chapter. No one is dying, at least not related to this story. I'm sure someone somewhere is dying. But, sorry, can we record the closer again? Somebody's going to get freaked out. I'm going to get email.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.